Glory to God. Welcome to the Wednesday night support group. Amen. If you're part of AA, they would say you have to go to the meetings in order to get beyond whatever holds you. And that's what we are. We are a support group. We're saying, you know what, we're going to support each other. And you could say, well, I'll just do this at home, but do you think you'll worship for half an hour at home? Will you do what we normally do in church? So it's important to be here, and I thank God for Wednesday nights. Amen. If you would, if you turn to Mark, the fourth chapter, starting at verse 23, it says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. So if we open our ears to the things of God, more will be given to you. Amen. And then if you go to Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Then verse number 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Lord, we ask your blessing and refreshing upon the word of God. Make it alive. Allow it to affect us, God. It will not return void. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. Good to see everyone here. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hello? Yeah? Can you hear me? I can hear you. Can you hear me? Wait. Let me get to the front pew where there's better reception. Now? Can you hear me now? No? There's got to be a place that there's better reception in this place. Probably right in the middle here where all of these people kind of congregate. Can you hear me now? You know, I bet it's better in the back. Yep, it's better in the back here. Don't make me climb up into the balcony. Can you hear me now? Okay. Now, you know, the reception seems to be good throughout the building. If you have ears to hear. Amen. You know, some people think that there's better seats in the church than others. But we have an incredible sound system. But it's not enough to have a sound system. You have to have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there are some people who feel like, wow, was that a great service? And others, yeah, it was all right. Some people are hearing, and some people aren't. Amen. And God says, if you have ears, you ought to hear the word of God. 16 times God has repeated the words, if any man have ears, let him hear. It must be a subject. It must be a sore spot. It must be something that he spoke to people and not everybody heard what he was saying. You see, people can hear the words but not allow themselves to register in their mind what they're hearing. It just goes right over their head. Many people have convinced themselves that the preaching is for somebody sitting next to them or somebody who's on the other side of the church. It does not apply to me. Words not applicable to my life, but to somebody else's. Perhaps that's why God gives us two ears and just one mouth. Amen. Turn to James, if you would. James chapter 1, starting in verse number 19, God tells us, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." So you have to hear it in order to be saved. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, receiving your own selves, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Have you ever had somebody ask you, what did they preach on Sunday night? "Well, it was a good service. It was a good service. But I don't remember." See, somehow we have to react to the Word of God. You know, one of the easiest ways to remember is to respond to the Word of God while the Word of God is being preached. You know, so many times you see baby birds in a nest, and the mom comes with some food, and the thing is, they have to open their mouths first. Amen. And that's what happens when we say amen. We're opening our mouth to the Word of God, and we're nourished by it. Amen. For about 40 years, I've been wearing hearing aids. It's cost me thousands and thousands of dollars in order to wear hearing aids, partly because of being in the artillery, but probably even more because of Pentecost. Because there's something that says, louder is much better. And boy, the Spirit will move. Well, it moves everything, you know. And so, as a result, I've been wearing hearing aids, and it's not perfect. It's not like the original, you know. My wife has said, "You know, you've answered some questions that nobody's asked you." Or at the end of the service, someone would say, "That was a lousy message." And I'd say, "Thank you very much. I appreciate that." What the audiologist has told me is when you haven't heard things for a long time and then you get hearing aids, you older people listen to this. What happens is you have to now redevelop and reestablish sounds in your mind that you haven't heard for years. Right. Did you know that birds make noise? Right. That's right. Our refrigerator, I can hear my refrigerator running. Some of you people haven't heard it in years. But what it's saying is, if your mind doesn't hear certain sounds for a long period of time, you have to have those sounds reestablished in your head. If you haven't heard preaching for a while, some of the old things have to be reestablished in your life. That's why we preach salvation often in church, because it needs to be reestablished and reestablished in our minds. The fire alarm industry has come out with a new fire alarm. It's really incredible. What they do is it's a provision where the mother can record her voice saying, "Fire, fire, get up now." And they're saying that children will respond to that more than the beep, you know. I'm still wondering why kids will respond to the mother's voice when they're sleeping when they don't respond to their mother's voice when they're awake. That's the problem. People have a tendency to only hear what they want to hear. It's called selective hearing. Honey, would you take the garbage out? Yes, I'll have spaghetti for dinner. And the more you hear the same voice, the less that voice will register in your mind. Amen. You people who have been married for a long, long time, you have to talk louder and more frequently. You see, we have at least 12 chiming clocks in our house. And I hate daylight savings time and you know. And during Bible studies, these clocks are going off and people just stop listening to me altogether and they're listening to the clocks. And literally, I'm telling you, my wife and I haven't heard those clocks chime in years because they just fade away out of your mind. I've had evangelists come to our church and preach the same message that I preached 2 weeks ago, and people are falling out in the aisle, you know. Marvelous revelation that they haven't heard, and they just pray through. Hello, I just preached that message last week, but you didn't hear it because I have a familiar voice to you. But it was familiar, and so you don't hear it. And that's why God gives us the fivefold ministry. So there are others who minister besides the same person over and over again. I used to get on the subway at Grand Central Station in New York when I was there for training. And there was a constant announcement, step back, let people on. And nobody ever listened to it because it went on and on and on. Every time you get there, you'd hear the same thing. I've almost missed flights because I was so preoccupied by something else that I didn't hear the announcements. You could miss your flight out of here because you're so preoccupied that you're not hearing the Word of God. You're not hearing what God wants you to hear. How do we react to familiar scriptures that we hear over and over? Aren't they just as important now as they were years ago when we first heard them? There is something at the base of our brain, they say, that wants to filter out repetitive sounds and messages, and we have to guard against that. God, I want something fresh. I want to hear the Word of God tonight. I want to be tuned in. I'm absolutely amazed that over the years you develop a sensitivity to knowing what God wants. Some of the thoughts that come into your head, you know, that isn't me, that has to be God. But you have to develop that inner voice from God. Be listening for it. It's so easy to continue to pray and pray and pray and not stop and listen, listen, listen. You see, because God, you have to understand, God wants to talk to you every day. He really does, if you'll open your ears to listen. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse number 18. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. You see, Most of the world thinks what we're doing tonight is foolishness. I mean, why spend your time going to church? And how many times a week? And prayer meetings on Saturdays and other get-togethers during the week? Because they don't understand their need for God. And that's the problem. Perhaps many of us were at that point where we had enough religion, we didn't understand the necessity, the need that we have to hear the Word of God, because it changes us every time we're under the preaching of God's Word. But God has a way of letting His voice be heard to people, and we experience that. He does it in a number of ways. Many people approaching them with the same conversation. I remember when I first came into the church, there were people who would ask me, well, do you have a relationship with God? Not even Pentecostals, but where do you go to church? What do you do? And all of a sudden you recognize something's happening. Why are all of these people coming to me now talking about the things of God? He speaks to people who aren't in the church in a still small voice. They wake up thinking about the things of God, or hearing the still small voice of God trying to draw them to church. He will create a dilemma in people's lives that they really can't handle on their own. And most people come to church not because everything is going well in their life, but they have some problems, and now all of a sudden they're more prone to hearing what God has for them than ever before. They recognize their need for help. And I think all people have to get to that place where they recognize, I need something. If you try everything and everything's failed, try Jesus. If people don't recognize their need for God, it doesn't matter what you say. So they have to have a hunger, they have to have a need, they have to understand that there's more than just life. And that's why when we see a person that is going through something, chances are their ears are now open to more of God. We look at opportunities, whether it's at work or within our family, when their people have needs, they're sick, or they're having difficulty in their life. Now is the time that their ears are more open than ever before. I've been talking to my neighbor about God for I don't know how many years, the one that's directly north of us, and you know, they like to talk, but they don't like to listen much about the things of God. But this week, a huge tree fell over in the back onto their fence and crushed the fence. It's a wrought iron fence, and so half of it was over the fence and half of it was behind it. And so Tuesday, I took my chainsaw and spent a good portion of the afternoon cutting up this tree. And it's not just because I'm such a wonderful person, but I like chainsaws, you know. But I don't know if they've noticed it yet, but I'm hoping it's going to open their ears to, or maybe even obligate them. When you do something nice for someone, all of a sudden they're a little more receptive to hearing what you have to say. You see, I remember Brother Sisko saying a long, long time ago, you have to love truth, you have to make people your friends, and then give them the Word of God. There's a relationship that has to be developed before people will listen to you, you see. Amen. Someone has to tell them what we have already heard and what we've already experienced, because we're the witness. Not everybody can be that witness. The Spirit and the Bible say, come. God does His part, and God's asking us to do our part. The Spirit and the Bride. There has to be a joint effort. God speaks to visitors, every time they come into the house of the Lord. God speaks through the music, the songs, the lyrics, the announcements, the preaching. People who greet them after church service, because what they're saying is, I was a visitor at one time. This is what's happening to me, you see. And that's God speaking to them. It's not only the words that we use, but it's also the tone and the compassion that we use in order to talk to people. You can't talk down to people. You have to show some compassion. I remember the first time I was in church. I remember what happened, you see, and now they can somehow relate. The largest public address system in the world was installed at the Toronto Speedway in California. It draws 31,000 watts of power, and it is connected to 355 horn speakers. It is capable of communicating to over 230,000 people above the sound of 50 screaming race cars. So you can imagine how powerful that sound system is. God has never screamed at me. I've never heard him in an audible voice except from the pulpit and through the mouth of other people. He uses a soft inner voice in order to communicate with people. You see, it's not the level of speaking that is so important. It's the level of reception of the hearer that is so critical. And that's why fasting and praying is so important, is because we want the words to be received by people, and it's a spiritual thing. Can you hear me now? Remember when Elijah had his showdown with the prophets of Baal? He prayed a 63-word prayer, and fire came down from heaven. Wow. That we have that kind of anointing, that kind of power. You know, while Baal's prophets were screaming and cutting themselves and jumping up and down and nothing happened, he simply said 63 words because he had a relationship with God, and those words were more powerful because of the relationship, you see. If you really want to be heard and you want others to hear you, it's because you have a relationship with God. You recognize at the end of the Old Testament, God would not talk to his people for 400 years because he was angry, you see. God is sensitive to each and every one of our prayers. You don't need a pulpit. All you need to do is have a relationship with God. Amen. Now, the church is looking for a better method to see revival. But God is simply looking for better people who will pray, who will listen to God. You know, there's too many situations and experiences that I've had where I recognize God's talking to me. I have to go in a different direction. I remember sitting at my desk many years ago, and I was putting together a message on a Saturday afternoon, and God said, go to your brother-in-law's house and tell them he needs to be in church tomorrow morning because I'm going to do something for him. Now, I could have put that off. Where's that? Now, you know, I've talked to him a dozen times already. But I put everything down, got in my car, went to Kenosha where he was living, and said, Mark, God talked to me about you specifically, and you need to come to church next Sunday, or that would be the next day. He said, okay, I'll do it. Because he felt what I heard. He came, he was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. But what if I had ignored that still small voice. God, what do you want me to do? I know what I want to do, but God, what do you want me to do? Amen. There are people who, well, they need God, and God needs to lead us to the ones. There's so many people who don't want anything to do with God, but you know what? God can isolate one person in a store or one person at the job. Amen. One godly man against 450 false prophets. All the false prophets were killed, and Elijah said in 1 Kings 18 and 41, "Get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." Listen, when we do what God wants us to do, sometimes it just doesn't make much sense that we do it the way we're doing it. There is always a sound of an abundance of rain. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Every time I talk about hearing the voice of God, I think of Sister Freeman. I've used this illustration over the years where she was driving down the road, and it was just a country road, and there was nothing else around, and God says, "Stop your car, get out, and preach salvation right here." So I know the voice of God, and that's exactly what she did. And then got in her car and drove off. And years later, she was at a conference, and a man came up to her and said, "You don't understand what you have done. I was laying in a culvert in the road. I didn't know if I was going to make it. I had no hope. And you stopped your car, and you preached salvation, and I'm in the church today." Glory to God. Turn to James, the fifth chapter, please. Starting in verse number 17. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, the same temptations, the same pull from the world and character defects. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth, not just Israel, but on the whole earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What a power over the elements, just like Jesus, stopping the storm. Verse 19, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Amen. Glory to God. The power we have in our testimony, in our words. God wants us to have power to reconcile and convert people to God, yet they must see their need and hear the voice. It's by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I don't need to hear anymore. It might seem foolish. I preached to my relatives, my neighbors, others for years. I've quoted scripture. I've told them about the miracles within the church. I've showed them the absolute necessity of being baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. And they would just kind of look at me like I was from a different world. That can be expected, you see. Not everybody is going to receive this. I thank God on a regular basis that I was receptive when somebody came to me. And I really believe this in my heart, that the reason I was, I didn't find this out until later, but there were dozens of people who were praying and fasting for me. And there was just, I was just compelled. But then one day when the world began to collapse around people, they opened their ears to a still small voice of God. You can't force people to respond to the preaching, but God can set up circumstances in their life that all he has to do is whisper, and they hear. Amen. Long before cells and phones that you could carry in your pocket, God was talking to people. Turn to the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 19. Again, a familiar scripture. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all of the prophets with the sword, 63-word prayer. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the God do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Bathsheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. What's amazing to me in this little story is that here he has this incredible victory, 63 words. Fire came down from heaven. He destroys 450 prophets, and one corrupt woman by the name of Jezebel threatens him, and he starts to run. It's amazing how we can have great victories, and all of a sudden, some little situation in our life causes us to run. Amen. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. If we ever get to the place where we think we can stand, well, we're vulnerable to fall. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in his strength and of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came hither unto a cave and lodgeth there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Every time I read this, I think of Brother Jonathan Mackey. He was raised in the church. His father was the pastor. He was exposed to all kinds of preaching, and he went into banking. And one day, he said he was in a conference with other bankers, and it was back then you could smoke in conference rooms, and he said the smoke was thick in the room. And God just spoke to him so clearly in that conference, saying, what are you doing here? You know I have called you. You know? Hallelujah. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Sometimes we're looking for a big move of God. We get an evangelist or we have a revival and we want something exciting to happen, and he's going to bring revival and he's going to give us revelation, when God's saying, just a small voice. Glory to God. The other elements for us to respond to the voice of the Spirit and the bride is that we have a desire and a hunger or a thirst for more of God. If you come and you don't have that desire, if you don't have a thirst for something, come on, pastor, come on, preacher, give me something because I need it, you see. You have to have a desire for more of God. If you'll go to the New Testament now in the book of John, chapter 7, verse number 37. Jesus is saying, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, and I don't think it was just a little bit, I think he raised his voice, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, how? As the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit." You see, those who want the Spirit have to have a thirst for it, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. When you get to that place where you're desperate for God, and I've been there, and I'm sure I'll be there again, where I'm desperate for God, nobody else can pull me out of that. It has to be me. We all want to hear the voice of God. The louder, the better, sometimes we feel. You know, the earthquakes, the wind breaks up rocks. No. Talk to me, God, and give me direction. We all want direction from God. It probably isn't a person that's just so totally stable that they don't need some guidance or some direction from God. We want God to speak to us every day and tell us exactly what to do, but God will not tell you exactly what to do, because sometimes you just have to walk in faith. Some special revelation that we want, but let's not get carried away that God should pour our cornflakes every morning and tell us what we should wear. Because he's already given us an instruction book. He's already given us a voice that is written, it's put down. And a lot of times the reason we're so unsure of what we're supposed to do is because we don't know the book as much as we really should. But as we read the Word of God and get familiar with the Word of God, many times we don't have to ask God what to do anymore, because we already know what God wants us to do. Amen. Amen. And the people who get in trouble are those who constantly have to be reminded of what they need to do, because they're not familiar with what the book has to say. Read the Word if you want to know what direction you have in your life, because the Word of God is a voice to each and every one of us. And then follow the instructions of the one who provides the water of life. We want all of those revelations and confirmations, because we have so little knowledge of the Word of God. And some people tell me, well, I just want to do what the Spirit of God is telling me, and that's okay as long as it lines up with the Word of God. But your feelings can't circumvent what the Word of God says. And anytime the Word of God doesn't line up with what your feelings are, you need to reject your feelings because God's already spoken to us. Amen. Hallelujah. And so thank God for the Word of God. And many times if you feel like I'm not hearing from God, maybe just open the book. Oh, amen. Can you hear me now? When we have a good relationship with someone, it's so easy to talk to them. But if we haven't been talking to God, if the relationship isn't like it used to be, sometimes you fear talking to them. I've been around people who talk a lot, but they seldom listen. There's a ministry in listening to people. There really is. And I found in counseling over the years that many times I don't have to say anything because people will tell me exactly what they need to do. They already knew it. All they had to do was vocalize it. Amen. Sometimes after we've prayed, we just need to stop and we need to just listen to what God would want us to do. Amen. Our last scripture is in Revelation 22 and 17. It says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." The Spirit and the bride say come, because we've got something that'll bring life to you. Amen. I'm so grateful that I accepted the invitation a lot of years ago, and I keep accepting the invitation all of the time, because even though I've been around this thing for a lot of years, I recognize that I'm still vulnerable if I don't get the preaching of God's Word and the Spirit of God moving in my life. Amen. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Would you stand with me, please? So many times my wife has said, "So what are you preaching on Sunday, or what are you preaching on Wednesday?" And I'll say, "I don't know yet, and I'm not going to work on anything until God tells me what I'm supposed to preach." But I can also tell you that many times I talk to you, individuals within the congregation, and in a simple conversation that we've had, what you don't realize is God prompts me to what I need to preach. We minister to each other more than you can possibly imagine. There are some people who are going through some things right now, and we need to minister to each other. We know what the Word of God says, and we know that God is always there and He'll never leave us, but there's something special about somebody in the congregation who has hands, who have comforting words that can minister to those that are in need. And I can't tell you how many times that has happened through your words and through your touch, and especially when I've had a down day and you just confirm, or I get a text from somebody or just a voicemail and saying something encouraging to me. You need to do that to your pastor, your pastor's wife, to those who are in the ministry, to encourage them, because they take on the whole congregation and all of their burdens. And we can only be successful together. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?